We've called this the two-minute warning, but this really is a two-minute warning. It really is. I played football when I was in high school. Grew up in Southern California, and unbelievably, while everybody else was going after the Rams, you know, or whoever, I was a cheesehead. 1968, Jerry Kramer was my hero. I wore his number, 64. There's a story about him. He wrote a book, Instant Replay, and I would hate to tell you how many times I read that book. I just loved it. But he tells about the time, I think it was on December 28th. They are playing the Dallas Cowgirls, and it's freezing. Oh, come on. Man up. You can handle it. But it's freezing. It's below zero. And they're behind by 3 points. And they are now within that two-minute area. They didn't call it the two-minute warning back then, but they're there. And they fought and they did everything they could. And finally, with 16 seconds to go, they called their last play, their last timeout. They were on the one-foot line. They had run what's called a 55 special. They were probing the line. They thought, you know, we can do this. They're weak here. And sure enough, they got in, and they got to the one-foot line, and they got into the huddle. And Bart Starr called a 31 wedge, and I'm keeping it. And Jerry Kramer went, oh, my soul, he's going right up my back, and I've got to block Jethro Pugh. He said, I won't guarantee that I wasn't a split second ahead of the call. Bart Starr said, hut, bam! Jethro Pugh hardly got his arm up. And Jerry Kramer nailed him. He didn't know what hit him. And he said it was so beautiful to, after he blocked him, to look over and see Bart Starr spread out on the ground holding the football and the ref doing this. Their third NFC championship in a row. And there was 13 seconds to go. I tell you that for this reason. We don't know what's coming. Amen? I mean, there were some of us, we're looking, hey, no problem, you know, with thousands of people rallying here and there. But then it didn't happen. And now it looks like it's not going to happen. And you know something? God is still on the throne. And so here we are for such a time as this. Brother Schmidt is, you know, he's had us praying this way, and we do, and we pray, and I don't know what God's going to do in your life. My desire here, quite honestly, is to prepare you for whatever God put on this man's heart. But it very well could be that God puts his finger on your life, and he says, I have something, and I'm coming your way. I've already bought the victory for you. But when the call comes, you got to move. And you'll see me coming right through with you. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn, if you would please, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Now, I'm having a little bit of a problem with my eyes right now, so if you'll excuse me, I'm going to hold my notes a little bit different. I'm just, you know, it's a challenge. I've got what's called fourth nerve palsy. When I look straight like this, I'm seeing, and you're all fine, but praise God, if I go like this, the crowd doubles. So I'll go ahead and deal with it if you will too, but I'd like for you, if you would please, Philippians chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, isn't that great? You know, listen, we're starting out, hey, you know what? God's grace. We've got his word. We're not looking to man. God is God. Grace to you. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And here is our text. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here and you're not born again, you need to get saved. You're going to hear about that later on, but right now I'm going to talk to my brothers in Christ. I'm going to talk about four things, and if you could, take out your pen, pencil, whatever you have. I want you to take down four words. Four words here. We need to recognize something, that we have a no-so reality. In Jesus Christ, we have a no-so reality. It began with our salvation, and it continues and will continue. Like David pointed out in Psalm 73, you took my hand back here, you're taking me now, and you'll take me right into glory. There it is. I want you to write down this one word, confident. Be confident. I love this. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The scripture is filled with things that give us confidence in our God. I praise God again for that verse, but that is not the only confidence that we have. As you pray, as you go through your word, as you pray, as you grow, as you learn, you recognize this, guys. We can be confident. We can be confident. Yeah, but I was praying for things to go this way. Listen, let me tell you something. God heard your prayers. He answered them. He says, I've got a different plan for you. We haven't been able to get into the Capitol since March. That's okay. God is working. It's all right. You can't ever see a day where God has checkmarked absent. That's not what's happening here. Be confident. Why? Well, we're going to see that. You see the word perform there? Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know where the brains are. I tell people, my wife graduated who's who, I graduated who's he. The word perform there, the Greek word means to finish or bring to an end. That's you fellows, guys. That's me too. He's at work. God is no quitter. There isn't a man in this room where God has said, I've taken him as far as I can, that's it, no further, what else can I do? That is not happening. Now, this is the mindset. Listen, this man right here, Pastor Reed, he's got a message for you. You need to understand this, by God's grace, you can be confident that whatever message it is that God gave him, he will speak to you on that message, in that message. He'll speak to me. When we gather here, this is why we pray. This is why we gather. We can be confident. Our confidence is profound. It means to persuade, to convince beyond all doubt, being confident of this very thing. Not only is it profound, but it's also personal. There's not a person in here. There's not a man in this room. God said, oh, he came too? I'm sorry, I didn't see it. He wasn't on my list. You understand? Listen, you know, some of us, we get in here and we think, you know, I'm not that, you know, I just can't, you know, God couldn't use me. Let me tell you, Tim mentioned, I've been here 30 years. 40 years ago, my hands were holding a shovel. I've got a concrete background. Other guys, they're really good with wood. You don't want to set me loose on wood. You don't want to get me doing an electrical job for you. Now, this body can't do it like it used to, but I used to love doing concrete. I even had my tools when I came here, had the bull float in Fresno and walking tools and the Marshalltown and all that stuff. That was great. But the body just doesn't do it anymore. But that's what I did. I was on an all-Christian concrete crew. God literally called me into doing ministry things in a slab in Martinez that my boss and I were pumping. I'll never forget it. I can take you to the exact spot. We might wind up in somebody's room. We would, but there's where it was. And so I don't know who it is, but somebody in here needs to understand that God might be calling a play, as it were, and he says, I'm coming right up your alley. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Be confident. That's what you're going to be. Be confident. I love this verse. Write this down. You know how it is. Tim was mentioning about growing. Listen, I praise God for guys that I've heard older than me. I just turned 67. Older than me, in their 70s, late 70s, and they're talking about what God just showed them. I'm telling you, that'll turn your crank. You know, it's just, you know, it's great. So I'm reading to the, you know, Paul's letters to the church at Corinth, and he says this, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. I mean, I look in the mirror now and I realize that God has blessed me with a face made for radio. You know, all that time out in the sun when I was growing up in Southern California, never wore a hat when I was doing concrete, hardly wore it when I was in the Air Force working on the flight line, and now God has blessed me with two-tone skin. Spots, they are. And some of you wind up suffering from the same thing. You look in the mirror and it's like, boy, I'm telling you, it ain't there anymore. But you know what? We look into the perfect law of liberty, and guess what God says he's going to do? We will be changed into the image of his son. Be confident. Be confident. You ever look at the verses that we have in the scripture when it comes to confidence? Fellas, listen, God said, you know, we're always telling people, you know, you can know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. Guys, you can know the growth that's there, and you do not have to doubt. Confidence in our present walk, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Even things that happen on the East Coast or in Sacramento, all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Oh, we got to do better than that, fellas. Do you love God? Listen, hey, you know something? It's all going to work for his glory, and praise God, may he come to the men that are here tonight and say, I'm running a play, and it's coming right down your alley. There it is. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. Confidence and going into translating into the next life, 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So I'm in the 11th grade, and one of my own guys blows out my right knee. My dad is a plumber at UCLA. I wound up with Dr. Martin E. Blazina, the team physician for the UCLA Bruins. Salute when you say that. We were no friends of the Trojans, guaranteed. And then Ducky Drake, the team, the guy that took the guys through, and he worked on them in their physical aspect. Ducky Drake, he's the one that worked on me to get this knee going. He, you know, get it all strong again, be able to play. Oh, mercy. But they told me, you're going to have what we call a knee replacement. And so I did. How many of y'all got a knee replacement? Okay, how many of you got a hip replacement? Okay, they've told me now I need two hips replaced. I would love, just for a split second, when the rapture takes place, I would love to hear what happens. All of a sudden, there's going to go clank, clank, thud, and the little chink because the teeth fall down, you know? I'd love to hear that, but we're getting a new body. Praise God for that. Confident in our standing for all eternity. 1 John 3:2, just read this in my devotions this morning. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So number one, be what?
Confident.
Write this down. Number two, be cognizant. Be cognizant. That's a $3 word. It means to be aware. Be cognizant. Be aware of this, that while you are here, the Holy Spirit is at work. Listen, you didn't come here to get entertained. You didn't come here, although I wouldn't blame you, you didn't come here to have the tri-tip. Or the great breakfast, you know, that continental breakfast we've been having every year. You know, the little muffin and a little glass of, no, listen, it's great. Yes. Be cognizant of this, that when that man gets up to preach, understand that the Holy Spirit inside of you is seeking to bring something to mind. Because every one of us has a little bit more to grow. Amen? I mean, there isn't a thing. Listen, I'm amazed. You know, if any man among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Praise God. But you know what? I didn't always. Didn't even think about it. And then I realized, oh my soul, how much God's wisdom I need. And then when godly friends would come and help with that wisdom, be cognizant that when that man was on his knees and he was studying, God was giving to him something, somebody in here, it's going to be like, oh, my soul, what did he tell me? I'm not talking when I say he, I mean him. Listen. Go to Romans 12, would you? Go to Romans 12. See, this is what we got to get into. And guys, look, we can all have all kinds of thoughts about this. But I do know this. If I had my ministry to do over again, I would have given much more thought to this passage. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now watch this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, watch it, by the renewing of your mind. We have people, men of God, men that now belong to the Lord, rejoicing in that. Yeah, praise God. But we're still thinking fleshly. You know this. You know this. When, you know, when we wind up having, you know, having maybe a church meeting and going to build this or do that, we wind up borrowing from the world. No, just wait a minute. Wait a minute. Back up. Back up. Back up. Now, look again. I remember, in fact, I was doing concrete when I first studied this, and I was like, wow, praise God, this is great. Look at that verse again, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. You know what I found out? That's the same Greek word that's translated transformed in 2 Corinthians 11 when Satan translated himself into an angel of light. What's he saying? Hey, he's saying, hey, listen, don't be on the outside what you're not on the inside, but be ye transformed. The same Greek word that translates in Matthew, transfigured, where Christ showed his glory to Peter, James, and John. And it means this, to have a change of activity where you show your true nature, your true inward nature. You know, we always use, or most always when we're giving the gospel, we use Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Amen. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. But the next verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's another place where we remind ourselves. Listen, let's be cognizant. The Lord has rolled up his sleeves. He's going to do something in your life and mine, and we better be here prepared for it. Be cognizant. Be confident. Praise God. But if you're resisting, if you're not all that thinking about it, understand this. The Holy Spirit of God, the creator of the universe, his hands will be in your heart seeking to do what he wants for his glory, and you and I might not have any idea what he's doing. But he's preparing us. And it might be for something that my soul, we have no idea. You did what? You want me to go where? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Spurgeon, I love this story. Spurgeon told of an evening, he was riding home after day's work. It was rough. It was tough. And as he was getting discouraged and thinking about all the stuff, this and that, he thought of 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient. A couple of years ago, I was reading Pastor Chappell's book, The Burden Bearer, and he talked about that verse right there. And I thought, glory, that is so great. And you know, he went on to say this, it's in the present tense. And I said, I thought, yeah, it's in the present tense. For when you're present is tense. Now, I'm not always that smart, but I thought, you know, I'll go. You know, when it's tense or it's discouraging, and believe me, when it comes to being discouraged, I've been there. Be cognizant that God is seeking to do a work. In the late 1990s, I was debating whether to add this in, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. In the late 1990s, I got really discouraged. In fact, I went into a deep depression. A good friend of mine, Mark Maxwell, I remember standing back there with him, and I mean, I was just in tears. It was so hard. I was in this pulpit while I was preaching. I was having panic attacks. I mean, it was rough. It was bad. And praise God, the church let my wife and I fly to Ohio. A friend of mine who is near and dear to my heart, in fact, he and I were on a Zoom meeting last night. He's in the Philippines. Wonderful guy, Jim Benny. Went out to see him. He has now counseled over 1,000 of us. He sat me down with my wife on Monday morning as we began. He looked at me and he said, "Mike, in your heart of hearts, do you believe God loves you?" And I looked back at him with full knowledge of what I was saying, and I said, "No." He said, 8 out of 10 pastors he asks that question to say the same thing. 8 out of 10. We started a road to recovery, and I have so rejoiced in that. God has slowly brought me out, and I'm telling you, I can rejoice. Oh, by the way, Jesus loves me, this I know. Because the Bible tells me so. You know, oh boy, I'm getting off. Can I have an extra 5 minutes? Let me tell you, I want to give you some, just a basic, okay? In Genesis chapter 3, Satan came and said, "Yea, hath God said?" And there's mankind's problem. "Well, I know what God told us to do. We're supposed to have these power encounters where, get thee behind me." No, Jesus taught us. Before he gave us the Sermon on the Mount, he taught us how to go head to head, face to face, nose to nose, and see the serpent, the wicked one, flee. This is what he did. Satan came to him, Matthew 4, turn the stones into bread. Jesus said to him, "It is bread." You see, this is what you do, fellas. If Satan starts having a heyday with you, you find the scripture that counters the lie. I was sitting in Jim Benny's office. That was a Monday morning. On Wednesday afternoon, I'm sitting in his office, and all of a sudden I exploded out of my chair. I said, "Oh my soul, I'm the classic double-minded man." He laughed and he said, "When did God show you that?" I said, "Just now." He said, "Go back to your room and write down other lies of the devil you've believed." I wrote down 12. Jim Benny, when he was here several years ago, he made a statement, and it probably shocked some people, but it really is, I believe, the truth. He said, "Every man in this room believes at least one lie." That's why we need preachers to come up, and we need to be prepared to hear the truth. So number one, listen, hey, be confident. Number two, be cognizant. We're told in Philippians 4, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, blah, 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 think on these things." I love Martin Lloyd-Jones. In fact, he has, well, I'm not going to go down that road. But Martin Lloyd-Jones made this statement, these statements. He said, "Faith, according to our Lord's teaching, is primarily thinking. And the whole trouble with a man of little faith is that he does not think. He allows circumstances to bludgeon him. That is the real difficulty in life. Life comes at us with a club in its hand, strikes us upon the head, and we become incapable of thought. We're helpless and we're defeated. The Bible," he goes on to say, "is full of logic, and we must never think of faith as something just mystical. That's not Christian faith. Christian faith is essentially thinking. Look at the birds, think about them, and draw your own conclusions. Think about it. Look at the grass. Look at the lilies of the field. My wife and I have stood on the field there where Christ taught there in Israel. He taught these things in the Sermon on the Mount. We've got to open our eyes. We are to focus on what is true rather than what is not. And that's what we have a big problem with that. We wind up focusing on the lie. Get off it. Thy word is truth. Now we need truth, right? Okay, turn off CNN and Fox News. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not what? Let the world do what it is. You know, Mary, Queen of Scots, said, I fear John Knox's prayers more than all the armies, all the organized armies of Europe. Have we had that kind of effect here? That's rough. That really is. I know we're going to have a rally. Well, guys, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. So number one, be confident. Number two, be cognizant. Hey, write this down. Number three, be cooperative. Be cooperative. We've got to ask ourselves, is there anything that we are in our heart of hearts nervous about God pointing out, because the fact of the matter is we just don't want to give that up? Sports has been an idol. And now, you know, praise God, the NFL, otherwise known as not for long, you know, it's starting to fade. But, you know, it needed to be. You know, at the beginning of this virus thing, you know, people were making jokes about it. You know, we were saying, you know, praise God, we've had revival. All the kids are being homeschooled. The bars are closed. And every preacher has now turned into a televangelist. And then it got to where it wasn't quite funny. And now they're threatening. And now there are people that are being fined thousands of dollars. And Lord knows where it's going to go for such a time as this. So, if we're coming here, we need to be cooperative. Whatever it is the Lord speaks to us, He has something He wants to do. We might rejoice in being confident because we want our way. We want our guy in the White House. We want our guy in the Capitol, you know, on the governor's seat, you know, whoever. We want it easier for us. We've got to check our motives, fellas. We might be looking, by the way, we need to be praying for the younger generation. I praise God. You know, we just had this tent meeting, and man, I'm telling you, it was a joy to hear Brother Smith and Schmidt and Josh Lancaster. I'm telling you, it was fantastic. You know, I look around and go, it's okay, I'm going to die of a heart attack here pretty soon. After all, I'm not like my dad. I haven't had open heart surgery. How many of you have ever had open heart surgery? Boy, not many. Oh, yeah, Larry, that's right, you have, brother. Praise God. By the way, there's a faithful guy right there. You know something? I praise God for people that make sure the lawn is mowed. Make sure the toilets are clean. Love it. Listen, by God's grace, we need to come here and we say, Lord, in the words of David, search me, O God, know my heart, Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me the way everlasting. You know, it very well could be that we could be saying, yeah, you know, I'm going to be cooperative here. There's no problem. But, you know, you go through the Old Testament and you read Israel, and it's like, wow, boy, those people, they just turned on a dime and just, oh, this and that. We do too.
Yeah.
We do too. Boy, God told them they're a stiff-necked people. How many of you are hard-headed? And how many of you didn't raise your hand if I asked your wife? So, number one, be confident. Number two, be cognizant, be aware. Number three, be cooperative. Write this down. Be courageous. Why? Because he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why? Because my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for thee. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be courageous. George Mueller kept a motto on his desk for many years. He said, it matters to him about you. And it does. That was a reflection on what 1 Peter 5:7 said. I'd like for you to, if you could, in closing, Acts chapter 3. I want to give you an example of what I just showed. You know, I don't know how many of you, probably some of you, when you've read it, you realize, you know, boy, if there's ever a person I can identify with, it's Peter. You know, open mouth, insert foot, chew thoroughly. You know, I just, oh boy. Here they are, you know, the disciples, they're out on the lake and the storm comes and Jesus is asleep. Master, Master, we perish. But there was that time that Peter said, Lord, if it's you, would you bid me come walk with you? Yeah, come on, come, come. And he did. And he's doing great as long as he has his eyes on the Lord. He looks on the wave and he becomes a stone. The Lord gets him, says, wherefore didst thou doubt? We look at the disciples and there's, you know, Lord, would you like for us to call down fire from heaven on these, you know? By the way, that's not what we want to do here in America. We have one enemy, and he was defeated 2,000 years ago. Amen. Those people over at that capital and in that capital, they need Christ.
Yes.
They need Christ. But what happened? Watch this. Acts chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, remember Peter? Sinking in the lake. Lord, I will never turn against you. I'll never deny you. You know that, Peter? Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, read the three words with me. Look on us. You see, God did a work in their lives. And they're the ones that to one degree or another in different ways and forms said, hey, be confident. Be cognizant. Be cooperative. It's their epistles that have told us these things. I read that and I shared this with the church. I thought, man, Brother Blankenship, I thought, and as when they said that, look on us. All of biblical Christianity, all of following Christ hung in the balance right there. Because if they had said, look on us, here's a quarter. Look on us, we'll be praying for you. What's the difference? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now listen, you know why? You know why we need to be confident, be cognizant, be cooperative, and be courageous? Here's the play, one of them, that God called for these two men. They looked, as it were, the world into the eyes and said, look on us. And the man looked, expecting something. You know, the world looks on us, and they smirk, and they mock, or whatever. But what if we looked at them and said, listen, look on us. Oh, that's pride. No, that's not. This wasn't pride. This is somebody doing something for Jesus. God has given us a great gift. We're in the two-minute warning. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. But it could be that things are going to get a whole lot worse before they get a whole lot better. This is America. Yep, sure is. Sure is. And if it can happen elsewhere, it can happen here. So we're here. I'm looking forward to what this man has to say. And I can be confident, and so can you. We can be confident as he opens up God's word. It's going to speak. But we need to remember, we need to be cognizant. God's got a work he wants to do. And therefore, if it's the God of the universe that is speaking, we need to be cooperative. But God, I can't do it. No, 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 no. Be courageous. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Fellas, we're here for a reason. Let's be confident God will get his work done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we go from session to session, we will recognize that the fellowship is great, the food is great, but more than anything else, we're here because we need your word. And I pray, God, that you would take that word and do in us not what we desire, but what you desire. And we pray this for the praise and glory of our Savior, who loves us so and is risen and reigns on high. Amen.